Episode of We the People Radio. We have a bunch of people in here today, so it's going to sound like we have a bunch of people in here.
Today.
My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cunniff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they can fix you up with anything John Deere. Mowers, tractors, implements, you name it, they got it. Go in and see them. They got pretty good stock of steel right now. If you're looking for lawn equipment, they've got it in stock. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go.
So today is September the 18th, in case we air this at a future time. So September 18th, if you go to the show page for that, I've posted the Los Angeles Times article that I'm sure we will reference. And I'm kind of hoping they'll forgive me that I posted it as a PDF so you could read it. But I did post the front page of the Sunday Los Angeles Times last week while we were talking about medical serial killers and stuff. The Los Angeles Times was busy plastering their front page with a gigantic picture of Mount Shasta and all the zillions of dope greenhouses in front of it. Promises Up in Smoke was the name of the article. And then California has done little to address the explosion of illegal cannabis farms. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Kind of good exposure.
Well, everybody's kind of catching on now. I mean, it was on.
People are starting to figure it out.
National news had it on last week as well. So it's starting to get a little bit of traction.
Exactly. And so we have Kathy and Officer Joe with us today. So you guys can tell us however much you want to tell us about you or nothing at all. And you have lots of paper over there that I haven't. I don't know.
Well, the LA.
You guys start wherever you'd like.
Well, what I love about the article that came out in the LA Times, right? I have friends in Texas that were actually even posting it. So, I mean, it has blown up and across the world. And this is something that share.
Yeah. For all the people who think that if you legalize it, it'll make all the crime go away and everything's going to be magical.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, and we're already seeing that in like states like Kentucky and all of them. So they are
Oklahoma.
They're already having issues, and I'm like, duh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because we have a lot of federal senators that are thinking legalizing, you know, taking it off as a Schedule I drug. That's not going to help either.
Well, God, no. I mean, if you're going to take marijuana off or pot or whatever the hell you want to call it. If you want to take that off of a Schedule I drug, then what's next?
Yeah, you exactly. Know? Well, we go like Oregon. Everything's legal.
Yeah, I know.
We're Amsterdam.
Yeah, how's that working out?
Yeah.
So, Aaron, I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to, this is Officer Joe, I'm going to give the state of marijuana in Shasta County because we just flew the county last week. We're going to tell you all about Jones Valley, Round Mountain, Small Farm Track, and Two Feathers. We're going to talk about how dangerous it is for our hunters out there. Speaking about heavy equipment, we're going to talk about how heavy equipment is being utilized by our Sheriff's Department to take out the grows. We're going to talk about our Native Americans and them getting into the pot business here. We're going to talk a lot about political donations and the race for the Board of Supervisors, and that's Aaron Reznor and Kevin Cry, and how they are both deep into the marijuana money. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the problems that dispensaries bring to our communities. So one at a time, we'll address those.
Yeah, because, you know, the big thing is, well, the dispensaries, it's a legal business. How many times have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you even have enough fingers and toes for that? Because I actually don't.
Well, and when we talk about a legal business, we also have to say, who's policing these legal businesses? Where are they getting their pot from? Are they getting them from the illegal grows that promote human trafficking? Ms. Reznor, are we, you know, who's doing that? So why would you invite a legal business into your community if there are no checks and balances?
Right.
I'm holding a national study in front of me. It's a vetted study from the Public Health and Safety Institute, and an additional one dispensary per square mile in a zip code was cross-sectionally associated with a 6.8% increase in the number of marijuana hospitalizations.
Wait, do that one again?
I'll let you read it.
No, but just, yeah.
All right, so the study was about marijuana dispensaries in a community.
Yeah, yeah.
So every time you put in a dispensary in that area zip code, every square mile, you have an additional 6.8% increase in the number of marijuana hospitalizations.
Lovely.
Yep.
Wow.
What could go wrong? And I know I've talked about this before, but we had just here in the Reading area an emergency room nurse who got a hold of me and sent me pictures of, like, it looked like candy, totally looked like candy, gummy bears and that kind of thing. It was shaped like the little gummy bears, you know, and a four-year-old and a six-year-old. Ate a whole bunch of them when their folks were asleep or whoever was asleep, and I wonder why they were asleep. They had probably eaten some, too. And the kids got up, ate them all, and overdosed and had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So this doesn't just affect, you know, this whole argument that, well, it's personal choice, it's for adults, you know, and that whole thing.
Well, the common byproducts of dispensaries, Aaron, are increased drug dealing, sales to minor, loitering, heavy vehicle and foot traffic in retail areas. You've got increased noise, robberies of customers near the facilities, and loss of commercial businesses that don't want to be located in the vicinity of marijuana dispensaries. Now, the dispensary itself might be safe because they have cameras and lighting and security people on scene, but as soon as you step outside that envelope, forget it.
Yeah,
I invite anybody to go up onto Twin View, sit in front of that dispensary, and watch the vehicles go in and out of there for an hour, and tell me that you don't have drivers under the influence coming to that location and leaving that location. And we know, as drug prevention folks, prior to COVID, when we were testing all the offenders coming through, that 50% before pre-COVID were saying that they had used both marijuana and alcohol as a part of their DUI. So those people are out there in the community among us. They are using these products, and they are driving among us, and they are killing us.
And you have to wonder, like, why don't we see more data like this? Why don't we see more hard data showing how many drivers are under the influence of alcohol or marijuana? It's because when an officer pulls someone over for, you know, whatever it is, you know, running a red light or whatever, alcohol is always going to be the first thing because
it's easy to test, easy to see, easy to smell.
Whereas marijuana, the testing is so expensive that they'll just forego that because the prosecuting DUI drivers for marijuana is a lot harder than prosecuting someone for alcohol. And we need to get on board. We need to like, no, this is not right. What is your family? What are your kids' lives worth to you to start seeing that data? The community doesn't want to see that data.
Well, and for the people out there that are going, well, I always channel the contraries. So I hear them saying, if this doesn't affect me, I don't use it. I don't know anyone in my family who uses it. And I'm thinking, yeah, but do you have any ancestors? Are you planning on having any ancestors? Because the heightened use of cannabis and regular use of cannabis has chromosomal changes in its back pocket for your four generations of your family. I would point people toward the our website at wethepeopleradio.us. If you go to the top, right next to the archives, it says pot. And in that listing of shows we have done on this topic, you will see Dr. Stuart Reese. And he goes into all the science and the detail. And honestly, if you don't feel like it's sufficient and you'd like to hear more on that particular topic, please email us. Our emails and phone numbers are right on the site. Tell me you're not convinced. You want more on that because happy to find it. It's right there. Right.
And we're seeing, to back that up, we're seeing now schizophrenia and mental health problems.
Oh, yeah,
right now. Later in life, though, for people who even stop using cannabis, and they've used cannabis heavily, and then they decide they want to try to become sober, and then at some point later in their life, they have a reemergence into what we call the damage from cannabis. So they're more prone. It's like getting sunburned. Once you're sunburned once,
you damage your cells.
You're predisposed to it. So
what does it take 17 years to make a wrinkle?
Right. So later in life,
like
they're appearing in their 50s, now 50s and 60s. They're starting to appear with issues from marijuana use that they've had before in their life.
What could possibly go wrong societally?
And you hear this argument all the time. Well, it's God's plant. There is nothing.
I've never heard that argument. That's a ridiculous argument.
Yeah. There is nothing natural about this plant. It has been so genetically modified that we're comparing beer and moonshine now. And beer is gone. It's garbage.
Adam wasn't brewing moonshine.
Yeah. And so now we're into that heavy, heavy THC level of drug.
Well, and, you know, from previous shows too, hemp, you know, they plan in the future to take hemp. They're probably doing it now, actually.
Yep.
Mix it with toluene, which would be an ingredient in nail polish, paint thinner, stuff you don't leave by your water heater. And that combination gives you a delta-9 cannabinoid, which is like anywhere between 90 and 100%.
Right.
That's what they're vaping.
Right.
So you don't even know they're using it. It isn't like, you know, you've got the potheads that might live, say, near some of us. Who would be, you know, stinking up your house with it? This is stuff that's really, really like under the radar.
Well,
usage.
Yeah, and I mean, just in a recent conversation with some higher up school administrators, yes, we now have vape detectors in bathrooms, and you know why? It's so that.
They vape detectors in bathrooms?
Yeah, in the bathrooms, because so many kids were going into the bathrooms to vape that maybe a student that doesn't vape couldn't use the bathroom because it was so bad. So we have vape detectors in there. They're not perfect. They don't catch everybody. But at least now other kids can use the bathroom. But even the school officials know these kids aren't just vaping nicotine.
They're
vaping marijuana.
Sure.
Yep. The high potency THC.
Yeah.
I wonder why we have school shootings and all the rest of it.
Exactly.
So for people who might be new to this, you know, kind of the science of it, and are thinking, well, you know, what's the difference between that and alcohol and prescription medication and stuff like that? Kathy just fell off her chair. Since we're on radio, we have to tell you what's going on. Kathy's on the floor. Joe's blowing off his finger gun there. but it's important because this is a fat-soluble molecule.
Right.
You know, promise we won't bury you in science today, but it's really important to know. It's a fat-soluble molecule, which makes it harder to test. It isn't like alcohol, which goes through your bloodstream and processes out. And the largest concentration of fat in your body is in your brain. So that's where it's stored long-term, in your brain.
Kathy and I, Aaron, get a lot of the NIMBY. Not in my backyard. I don't see it. It doesn't affect me. Let me tell you how it's going to affect you. So we have national studies now that show employees who test positive for marijuana have a 55% more industrial accidents and 85% more injuries than non-users, and 78% have higher absentee rates than users. And these drug marijuana using employees have been shown to have a 300% higher medical costs, which increases, obviously, costs for employers and employees.
Wow. So I'm thinking that all this extra tax revenue we're going to get from these co-ops probably isn't going to cover all those types of things at all, not even come close.
And we just had that conversation with the city, and the city has now values your child's life and marijuana use at $1.5 million, because that's what the city is making on marijuana. And that's
$1.5 million.
But that's pre cost. Now, when you start taking out all the costs for an employee,
administration. Additional law enforcement, health costs,
And they're supposed to also give that money to prevention, and we see absolutely
because you guys are in the prevention business.
Well, and guess what? We don't want it.
Yeah,
Why would you take marijuana money
to educate on marijuana?
Like, why would we take alcohol money for sober grad? Hello.
Yes, why indeed? And, you know, things like that used to actually make sense. That was considered something we could figure out on our own, but...
And before you go to break, I want to tell you that we're
going
to come back.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't even have the song picked out.
Okay, good, because we're going to talk about the candidates that are up for Board of Supervisors that are taking marijuana money and justifying it to the rest of us. And these are people that work with our children, and these are people that run the city of Redding currently.
That don't like to see human trafficking, that are against homelessness, that are educating our children. hollow.
That say we should go after the illegal grows when, in fact, we know the illegal grows feed the legal, quote-unquote, legal market of the dispensaries. Over 80% of them now in California are fed by the illegal market. Oh, yeah, it's incredible. And that statistic.
See, and they'll tell you right away that, dispensaries are all organic.
Check.
Yeah.
This all comes from legal sources that have been.
Yeah.
They're all organic. I love the all organic part.
What?
You're like, okay, is there a bigger lie than it's all organic? No, pretty much no.
And a recent study of 1,000 California NorCal dispensaries showed that over 80% of those dispensaries had products that were tainted with all kinds of molds, bacteria, and pesticides that are just really good for the human body.
Yeah.
Well, the environmental degradation, we
haven't even touched on that.
No. But the thing is, for people who don't, they're looking at this as a, let's see, and they get convinced, right? It's pretty easy because what happens, sometimes law enforcement, local law enforcement in a county or a town says, look, we're super understaffed. We're not competitive. We need the money. We're going to need to permit legal growing.
Just like they're talking about in Lassen County.
Correct. That's kind of who I was channeling.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, there's people all over the country who listen to this. And so it's happening, in other places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they start talking about how we need the money, so that we can enforce, let's come back and talk about that. It'll give us 2 minutes to hate internally, and then we'll exercise those demons, and then we'll be ready for an audience when the commercial break is over.
And I'll get off the floor.
Yeah, we've already we pulled Kathy back on her stool.
I'll reload.
reload the finger gun. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
I just got a new promotion, but I got high. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why.
Why?
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support.
Another song Ian didn't know, or Liam didn't know. He's like, where do you get this stuff?
That's a classic.
That's the classic.
I'm crying right now. Like, genuinely crying.
I love it when we find something in the Wayback Machine that you don't know. But honestly, that's kind of the look of it. Laugh about it because we didn't get high this morning. We drank coffee and came to the radio station.
But let me tell you where you will not laugh about it. Go down on Bocelli, across from the Veterans Home. This is where
Hartnell.
On Hartnell.
Oh, across from the old clinic.
Old clinic. Yep. And look at what Aaron Reznor and Mr. Mazzone bring to the city of Reading. Look at all the homeless, drug-addicted people.
As a matter of fact, I drove by and I was like, what the heck?
Yep.
Well, they were driven out of their homes in the Henderson open space. Where do you think they're going to go?
So they packed up all their crap and now they're hiding on the corner, kind of right there.
Right. Like and right behind the federal building, right there in the corner.
Between the federal courthouse. I thought that was kind of funny, too.
And even when their own, their own planning commission said, hey, please don't 5-0, please don't put that honey oil dispensary right next to the Good News Rescue Mission.
Yeah.
While we're trying to get all of our people sober.
Yeah.
They overruled them and put it there, right?
Yeah.
Can you, any more sick thing you can think of?
So there's a
cultivator. There's
is it in that?
Used to be the medical supply building.
Okay, so for
right
people
there.
who don't speak
dope language.
Yeah, dope lingo.
Dope.
Well, you should listen to our show more often, just for starters. Probably should hit the archives and get up to speed. But, okay, a honey oil production facility, what does that exactly mean?
That takes either cannabis or now they can take shake and hemp.
So it's all the stuff they're not going to smoke or whatever, just the crap that's left over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they can make it into oil. And that oil can be almost, well...
And it's made with butane.
One of the things they can make it...
Yeah, another terrifically organic chemical right there.
And they claim now to be able to make 100% quote-unquote pure THC out of that. Oh, yum. I want to put that in my body.
Besides the fact it's insanely flammable, and there was a period of time there where you had houses blowing up in neighborhoods because they were making honey oil. They take a PVC pipe, push all the cannabis crap down in the tube, and then dump butane in it.
Right.
And the stuff that drips out the bottom is kind of a yellow gook, and that's the quote honey oil.
Yeah, because it looks like honey.
We had the sheriff's department bust a nice lab down there in Anderson, and I've got pictures of it, a garage lab, and that's where this honey oil is coming from. So if you think you're getting some pharmaceutically controlled oil that's coming to you, you're getting third world backyard chemical dynamics. And on the other side of the wall of that garage was the children's bedroom.
Oh, of course.
So they were all removed and put into protective custody. Yeah.
Their
lives are ruined too.
Well, you know, and so then, of course, I'm hearing the people who say, well, you know, if we made this legal, there would be more restrictions and this would be less black market and all that.
Aaron, 20 years we've been trying this. 20 years, right?
No. I totally get that. But the part that I think folks, you know, fundamentally misunderstand, the biggest fundamental misunderstanding is that all these people are doing a lot of these. The black market exists because they just can't figure out how to do it legally. Yep, but that's not
actually... They don't want to do
that's
it.
That's not actually true.
Yeah, they don't want to do it.
They're not waiting to get a legal business license. They're never getting a legal business license. But now is the gold rush, and they're all making a fortune.
They don't want FDA approval.
No,
Trust me. They don't want to go through that process because it can never pass. It will never pass.
Well, and they won't make any more. They won't make money at that point either.
No.
Because now we're going to tax it and we're going to regulate it.
Well, children are legal, and they traffic them and sell them. So, you know, guns are actually legal, and they... traffic them and sell them. You know, I mean, so there's an illegal business for pretty much every legal, you know, side of things. But this isn't an industry that is being driven to the dark side because there's no opportunity for them. The problem is the legal businesses don't make any money unless they buy the...
From the illegal market.
From the black market. And that's how they make their
money. No way.
And since it's all cash, and now we're going to have the casino getting in on the marijuana business.
Yeah, that was a great move there. Laundering money.
I was told, I thought it was medicinal.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Indians in America,
just so you know, the transaction was illegal. That if you buy a pot shop, you have to get your own license per California law. And Redding Rancheria hasn't done that.
Well, they're just going to assume the license of Sundial Collective.
They're trying.
You can't do that.
And you can't do that.
Right.
And we caught the city on it, and the city's doing the backpedal as we speak right now. Oh, we're going to talk to the Department of Cannabis Control.
Yeah, we need clarification on that.
Now, think of this.
Of course they do.
Think of this. Native Americans have some of the highest drug abuse in the nation as far as their youth. So we have the Redding Rancheria, which has its own medical facility and doctors to treat people, and now they're going to get involved in the marijuana business so they can then move that into their new casino. And I just bet you're going to see, and across the country we see that the Native Americans declare their property as sovereign nation, and therefore no drug laws are applicable on their property. And so we're going to see some of that go on here. And that's why they're getting into it for one reason. They call themselves wanting to diversify to protect their investments. They're in the drug business for one reason, and that's money. And they want your kids. That's what they want. They want your kids.
So, because they also are promoting no on Prop 27. Okay. For obvious reasons, they want to keep gambling in their own home or in their own casinos. Well, I found it very interesting that the reasons that they are no on Prop is, don't be fooled, a massive expansion of online gambling is not a solution to homelessness. Oh, but buying pot shops is. Or increases risk of underage and problem gambling. But pot doesn't?
This is how...
This is like the kind of thing where you have to be high in order to follow the argument.
Yeah.
This is how evil it is. So we had Rick Girola, he's our agricultural commission, show up at a board of supervisor meeting 2 weeks ago. And when he reported for monies in the county, he had a side report on what cannabis potentially could bring to the county. Now, this is the same Rick Girola that last year tried to push hemp on the county. And the county went for it in an experiment. And there was just two people. It was Rick Girola and an ex-board of supervisor that wanted to, quote unquote, grow hemp. Well, isn't that amazing that that board of supervisors now up and apparently is trying to get a permit to grow marijuana industrial-wise in the city of Reading? So, isn't that funny? Well, I wonder what's in that supervisor's barns out there in the county area.
Yeah, see, it's just... And so, okay, well, it's everywhere, so why fight it?
Oh, please. Oh, my God. Let me just explain this.
Yes, please do. Because, I mean, I already know the answer, but yeah.
I know. Let's, why fight it? I mean,
yeah, why, fight it?
Why don't you
People
take,
want it.
Yeah, yeah, go out there. Take a hike through the forest. Go ahead. You know.
Let's to Mount Shasta Vista. Better
yeah.
Yeah, let's I want to camp out.
Yeah, let's go on a camp out to Mount Shasta Vistas. Come on.
Hold on. I promised you that I was going to give you a state of marijuana in Shasta County. And we flew the county last week. So let me tell you, for your listeners out there in the Smalls Farms track and Two Feathers, which is out in...
Out by the Veterans Cemetery.
Veterans Cemetery going south. That's Tim Garman's area and gets into Les Baugh's area. Massive amounts of marijuana. Let's go up to Mary Rickert's area in Round Mountain. So
these are supervisors.
Yes.
These are our supervisors.
They are supervisors.
So let's go up to Mary Rickert's area, and let's go to Round Mountain, and let's go to the cemetery and the big power station up there. Everybody kind of knows that as a landmark as you enter Round Mountain there across from Round Mountain Store. If you go south from that area toward the next mountain range, completely inundated with marijuana. And we're talking about commercial scale like we see in Siskiyou, big 150-foot greenhouses. Let's come back down into Jones Valley. And you know what? I found a grow there that's been going for over 20 years.
Oh, no fool.
And it is a huge commercial grow, multiple greenhouses, and it's out there on Backbone. And so for those of you listening on Backbone... We're coming for you. Just want you to know that. We're coming for you. So we do have a sheriff. He is trying to take it out. We do have a couple of deputies. They are pretty much on their own. We're not getting the help that we need from the state. We're not getting the state environmental reports that we need. We want to file felony environmental crimes. We know that, for example, all those grows in Round Mountain, they're using all the water out of Cow Creek, and they're polluting the water that other people drink. Meanwhile, the ACID canal is dry, and our farmers and our ranchers are being fined out of existence, and we're seeing farms that have been in the family for 150 years closing up. But the cannabis growers, because of Newsom... because of Newsom giving $100 million and trying to force counties to have more dispensaries, that's how they want to do it, Aaron. They want to force more dispensaries on every county. And so, for example, Lassen talking about wanting to get money for enforcement, the state is saying, hey, if you allow us to go ahead and put dispensaries in your community, we'll give you that $1 million for enforcement. Well, all that does is bring in more crime, more marijuana use, and more damage to our youth.
And they'll never see that $1 million.
And they'll never see that $1 million.
Well, you just dollar for dollar. Do we? I mean, at one point, and this, gosh, it's probably been 2 years ago, for every dollar that you took in on tax revenue,
it cost you an additional 10. Oh, 10, yeah.
But I don't know what it is now.
Yeah.
It's probably high. It's got to be higher.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the environmental damage and even the cleanup costs.
Superfund. This is Superfund.
Okay. In some of the places, absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things that I learned at a symposium one time was the marijuana people really like to take you away from the subject of marijuana. They want attention away from them. So now let's talk about opiates. We had the opiate epidemic. You know, that takes away the attention.
Sure.
And now it's fentanyl. And I'm not saying these aren't dangerous. These are totally, totally dangerous drugs. But it takes away the attention. Yep. And we're cutting pot with these drugs now. And now the newest and latest is the drugs, I don't know, where remember what it's up, but it's used on animals to tranquilize animals.
Ketamine.
And and they're putting
that. And they mix that with it?
And now they're mixing that in your pot. And the Narcan doesn't cut it. Narcan will not bring you back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, the hard truth about Narcan is a lot of times when they bring these people back with Narcan, it brings their body back, but their brain's already dead.
Oh, yeah.
So I forget who I was talking to, but they had spoken with a neuroscience guy down in, by Palo Alto, down in that area, Stanford. And he said, we have warehouses basically filled with people who are brain dead because they hit them with the Narcan. Their body came back, but their mind was dead at the time. And we'll never return. And now what do you do with these people?
Right.
So I just, wow. And like, why we would see, for me, the stores having a dope store in your neighborhood, on your street, next to a regular business, anywhere else. My my view on it, you know, if I had kids still, if my kids were little, you know, when you see a store, that's a legitimate business. And so that means that what's in there is normal and people should buy it and, you know, if you want it. So it's just normalizing all this. And people will say the same thing about bars other than bars have been around for an eon. And I think we got that figured out. But you add this dope thing, and then a lot of it's marketed to children.
Oh, for sure.
You've got a lot of pictures of, you know, the free backpack day, you know, with all your little help supplies so you can be getting dope training.
The pot shop up on East Cypress. It's called Cookies.
Or how about even the one?
What could go wrong?
Or how about the one on 270 on Market Street going out of town where you have Dill's Deli going about all
sign.
Yeah, the sign right on the side of the road, Dill's Deli, talking about all the sandwiches that were sampled and the marijuana advertising's right with it. So they're one in the same.
It is a total normalization.
And I guess, you know, as a citizen, so, you know, people are thinking, well, I can't do anything about any of this.
Oh, you can.
But you super can. You can look at who you're electing, how they're getting funded. You look at all that. But moreover than that, I would say you are the customers of the businesses, the actual businesses, the deli, the whatever it is that's going to be next to the dope store. And
the gardening supply on 273.
And there's that.
Oh,
and there are some
the one on Athens.
But some of those people are claiming, you know, well, I'm just the landlord. But see, all that is part and parcel of the problem, whether you're the landlord, whether you own the dope store, whether you facilitated that because you were on city council or the planning commission or whatever, and you're normalizing that for your community. So as a community, I would never patronize a business that I knew was tied to that or furthering that, because that's my way of saying that's my immediate way of saying no.
Right. Let me just say that there is a gentleman that sits on the Redding City Planning Department.
Okay.
Or Planning Commission.
Okay.
That during one of the meetings that had to do with allowing a new cultivation site out by Westwood Village said, oh, are you going to bring in some samples for us?
Huh. I wonder what team he's on.
Huh.
That's unbelievable.
I'm guessing he's not fighting back even quietly.
Well, I wonder if the Redding Board of Realtors is actually applying the California Disclosure Real Estate Law and whether they are actually doing what they're supposed to and disclosing all these marijuana properties. Now, a lot of the properties that we deal with when we go to do eradications, they're called trespass grows. At least that's what they tell the deputies. And that's so they can obviate the legal process. So basically you show up, you try to do an eradication, you get a couple of illegal aliens that run away. Sometimes we capture them, sometimes we don't. And then when the county goes to follow up saying, hey, there's all this environmental damage, we want to recoup some of our expenses, the homeowner or landowner down in wherever else in California says, oh, I didn't know. That's just vacant.
Oh, right.
It's vacant property. How did I know that what they were doing on it? So we are asking, and we've come up with a group of things. We tried to go in front of the board and ask the board to declare a state of emergency on marijuana for Shasta County.
Right.
So Pat Minturn took it forward. He talked to the sheriff, and I get it. No sheriff wants to declare a state of emergency and makes it look like they don't have control of their county. We don't have control of our county, folks, just so you know. All right, so...
It's a numbers game. Law enforcement's always a numbers game.
Yeah. Right.
So if you live in some town and a giant cartel of car thieves shows up, or carjackers, or burglars, or whatever it is, law enforcement was already busy. So the idea that you can have an influx of this level of
crime,
drugs, just illegal activity, and they're going to be able to just make that go away. People go, "Why don't they go arrest them?" I'm like, "Oh boy,
the counties don't really want to know how bad the marijuana issue is, right?" So we counted using GIS. We went and we took a sample of Shasta. Let's just use Shasta County because we know what the numbers are for Siskiyou. So we took a sample of Shasta County, and I came up with about 7,000 illegal grows. That's was our number, extrapolating out just using a map, going zooming in and then doing a per square mile.
Sure.
How many? Okay, so we figured that out. The state actually has an even better program. They have a program called Cannavision, but the state did not want to give that program out because what was happening is that they would put that out, show all the satellite images, show all the numbers, and then the bad guys would come in and try to rob all the good marijuana growers. So they decided,
but it's a legal business.
Yeah, it's a legal business. We don't do it anymore.
Wow.
So
we have to take a really quick break. We will come right back this week.
Political donations.
Let's come back.
Let's talk about that.
Well, you're listening to We the People, and you'll be able to find this on the archive later this afternoon at wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think...
her kids in at night, kisses her husband, turns off the light, talks to God, says, Lord, help me accept what I can't change. But until I learn to do that, thanks for the Mary Jane. 'Cause you know life will let you down. Love's gonna leave you lonely. Sometimes the only way to get by is to get high. Yeah, sometimes the only way to get by is to get high.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of people who think that, actually. That is the logic in a lot of this. And, oh, terrific, now we have dope stores, so I can just go down there and get it. So before we do the stats on political, how many people who would never have, gone to wherever you got to go to buy pot, how many people are using it now that really didn't before because now you can just go in a store and get it? What's the increase in usage?
Estimated about 30% of the American population will try marijuana recreationally, and about 18% will become addicted in some fashion.
Because now they can get it pretty much
easily to get.
Oh, yeah. What a good idea.
Hmm.
And you talk about going into a pot shop, and they'll be like, so what is your problem? Like, well, I'm just not sleeping good. Oh, well, try this strain. Like, really? You're going to
doctors?
Yeah. Like, you're going to take that recommendation.
Well, they're all experts.
Oh,
all right. Yeah, you can't pretty much go anywhere. In fact, yesterday we were out and you walk through a store and it's like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pothead. Yeah. Yeah. I know. You just want to wear a you need to have like a little sign in your pocket that's like, are you a pothead fucker? Are you a pothead fucker?
Skunk alert.
Yeah,
skunk alert.
Exactly.
So the outdoor grows are harvesting. They'll be done by Thanksgiving, but the hoop houses are going strong 24/7, right? Okay. And talk about environmental disaster. You know, they're all using propane or sulfur generators or using wood, burning down the forest, anything they can do to increase the CO2. All the plastic that comes and goes, turns into microplastic into the environment. Just horrible. But coming back to Bill, because Bill, during the break, Bill was saying, you know, this, Officer Joe, is an interactive show. And we have some comments out there of people that are interested in what's going on. Bill, what did you hear from our public out there?
I've just got a couple folks in the chat room want to hear the political races that are and candidates that are involved in taking donations, let's say, from
pot growers, pot shops. Cultivators.
So because of the FPPC site.
Fair Political Practices Commission.
Thank you, Aaron. Because of the FPP site, we can actually look at where the donations are going to all of these candidates. But, and there is a but, the pot folks are very good at hiding. You know, it's just a ubiquitous name. It doesn't say like, so there's like the Honeybee Organic Growers Association. Well, that sounds like, man, we should be supporting
that. Support those folks.
Hell no. That's
a front for
that's
whatever.
For a collective, pot collective, and giving.
Yeah, they don't ever say pot collective.
No, they never say pot collective.
None of them say that.
No.
So we have, for Board of Supervisors, which we're focusing on because we're county, I think that the city is lost. They're already up in smoke. I'll work on them, but they're kind of lost in my game. But county is not. So we got two pro marijuana, and they will tell you they're not pro marijuana, but they are pro marijuana candidates. We've got Aaron Reznor and Kevin Cry, and they have both taken lots of marijuana money. And in the case of Kevin, I spoke to you. Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Spoke to him personally, and he said, look, he said, I needed the money, and if you're willing to give me the donation, I'll give the money back. Yeah, but Kevin, you work with our kids. You work with our young kids, okay? What's going on in your brain that thinks it's okay to take marijuana money? Now, Erin actually held her fundraiser up at a famous winery here up in the old Anselmo Vineyard, which was a classic historical grow site for many
years. After he left.
After Anselmo left.
He's a hardcore anti-marijuana guy.
Anselmo doesn't want anything to do with marijuana. So she went and held her fundraiser there. And then she took lots of marijuana and money into her campaign. And she initially talked to me. But when I started talking to her about the dangers of marijuana, those conversations quickly have stopped. And I haven't heard anything. So one of those two candidates, both which have taken lots of marijuana money, are going to be a board of supervisor. And we're going to have to... I'm gonna demand that anything that comes up with marijuana, like with Rick Garola trying to push it again within our county, I'm gonna demand that they recuse themselves because they are tainted. This is corruption.
And these aren't $20 donations because they went to a dinner. This is $4,900.
Right.
Maxing it out.
Yeah.
And they get real smart about that, Aaron, because somebody makes a $4,900 nation, and all of a sudden their friend makes a $4,900 nation, and their friend makes a $4,900. So in the end, but it's all being paid for through that one person. We know it. And we see people that support the marijuana industry that have been, let's see, spanked in the past, have been fined for illegal grading. We see people like that that are also donating into these campaigns. So it makes you wonder why. The problem is with all these donations is you don't really know who these people are unless you're very acquainted with all the people in the city of Reading. And I'm not. I have to depend on Kathy for that.
Well, and this is my thing with the election coming up because, you know, you're going to have two open seats in the city council. And these are all things that we all should be concerned about.
Yeah,
and
I don't care where you live.
Yeah, I don't care.
There's a way to look it up where you live. It might not be the Fair Political Practices Commission.
And I just say, if you're not asking these hard questions of our potential leaders, then you're part of the problem.
And kind of drilling in. So you guys work in the prevention industry. Mm-hmm. So let's say somebody lived in a community and they were like, I don't know anything about this. And I've never looked up campaign donations. I really don't know what any of this is about. I'm not really part of a big group, so there'd be no one to tell. But they could go to their local folks like you who educate in the schools and all that. And likely those people are active and on this and they could join the effort.
Right.
Are we allowed to give it a phone number?
Absolutely.
Kathy, go ahead. Phone number? Any phone numbers we can give out?
Well, I give out bills.
Oh, Kathy was just looking at me. Kathy was looking at me, and she was going like, "Do you know how many of the potheads are going to call and threaten me?" So
we're going to make them look it up.
All
the wheels will come off.
I would say if you're interested, please contact the station, and we'll make contact, and we'll be happy to follow up with you.
Reach out to
because this is dangerous.
Call Bill first.
We've been threatened. We've been threatened, okay? We get threatened with violence all the time.
Uh-huh.
We have very strange people that engage us and make all kinds of weird things, contacts. We've been victims of violence already, so we're very careful. You know, we're very careful out there in the community because pot people, we know that marijuana increases violent tendencies in a certain segment of the population, and so we have to be careful.
And the people who dabble in that industry, who might, you know, say, lease a building to a dope store, they get very wounded if you talk about that in public. So, you know, they'll marshal other businesses in other industries to go defend them and try to silence you, which is interesting. Because,
they are not patriots.
Yeah, because some of those people are all big on, you know, the Constitution, except for that First Amendment. That's stupid First Amendment. It's very interesting, though, how this industry has wormed its way into
everyday life.
Because you would think, like, back in the day, I mean, these were, quote, the potheads, right? You could spot them a mile away. And now it's all inside
and
baseball.
And sadly, we're all guilty of it. We all, even though I'm terribly against it, if we're not speaking out and doing something, then we're part of the problem.
Yeah, we're letting it go.
We're letting it. We're normalizing.
Sure.
And we can't.
So I don't care if all you do is forward, you know, all these shows on pot. Like, I was talking to a relative whose wife had cancer, and I guess she's taking CBD gummies to sleep because her friend told her they really were good and they didn't have any THC in them. They weren't bad for you. Well, she just got done with cancer, for God's sake. And I'm like, hello, you do know that anything that comes from the cannabis plant, as we learned from Dr. Reese, causes cancer. I go, I don't think that's your best choice.
We just provided a report to Tim Garman because he asked us, Supervisor Tim Garman. He asked us at a prior Board of Supervisor meeting about CBD.
Uh-huh.
And so our research says that, well, CBD will not kill you, Aaron. CBD itself, if it's pure CBD. But it really, most of the time, you're going to get some THC in there. But the problem with CBD is, one, it's not FDA approved and cannot be. It cannot go through the rigorous standard. But it's all the molds and toxic pesticides that go along with it. So all these people that are rubbing this, you know, mother's little helper on their skin, thinking that it's helping them, yeah, you're just rubbing chemicals on yourself, folks.
Chemicals. And we asked Dr. Reese because, you know, I'm a curious individual. So I said, well, hey, what if you grew it in a lab? Like, what if there were no chemicals and you could actually prove that? And they talked to me like I was, you know,
three.
Yeah. If it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer. I was like, okay, thank you.
You mean it doesn't prevent emphysema? Because I used to hear that from the people that were smoking all the time. They'd be puffing and coughing prevents emphysema. Oh, I get potheads that tell us that all the time. You know, I've got COPD, and you know, I use my cannabis, I feel better because it helps me breathe.
Well, of course you feel better.
How do you know you feel better?
You take a little morphine, you feel better. You can still breathe.
Well, it's just and so people have this thing that it's a natural product and that pharmaceuticals are poisonous. And hey, you know what? Water's poisonous in volume.
Well, so
if you hold your head underneath it. But.
Yeah. So this is you know, from a neurologist that, you know, my sister goes to a neurologist, but that's beside the point. But anyways, but
not really. Now we all know
she. You know, you start talking about pot. Maybe that'll help with some of my symptoms and stuff. And he said, well, here's the problem. I would never, ever recommend it.
Yeah.
He says, there's no dosing standards. You don't know what you're getting.
You're right.
I mean, like, who in their right mind would even allow that?
They're having the huge cannabis symposium conference in Las Vegas, you know, with all the lights and the showgirls and the strippers and the whole nine yards.
I didn't know there was such a thing, though.
Yes, there is. Oh, it's once a year, and they market, and it's all the glitz. But, you know, there's a lot of doctors. They like to put a lot of doctors on their marquee,
right.
But they're all PhDs. You don't see really a lot of MDs.
They're not actual medical.
No, they're not. The real doctors that take a look at marijuana in America, they go, no, there's better things for us to take and things that are actually go
more
through.
More highly controlled and maybe weren't mixed with spray adhesive and carbofuron.
Right.
You know, before
right. Spray adhesive. What do we use spray adhesive
spray
for?
Spray adhesive. Make why, your butts bigger, why, man. Don't you know anything?
Why would we put spray adhesive on the cannabis plant? Why?
Yeah.
Oh, we want to increase potency. Oh, that's good.
And it
for
just
you.
Falls off when you process it later. Nobody actually, you know, ingests the spray adhesive.
But you know, that's occurring up in Mount Shasta. And just because that, what is it, 139,000 pounds of toxic waste flows into the aquifer every year and goes into Lake Shasta
to
and the turbidity.
Yeah, so we've got, like, I don't know, 30 seconds or something. Thanks for coming in. This is super, like, I don't know, we could talk about this forever, obviously.
And we will.
Yeah,
so we'll do this some more soon. But if people have questions or comments or want to hear some specific information, get a hold of us. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. And our guests were Kathy and Officer Joe. And Bill's not really a guest, but he's kind of a guest. And next hour we'll have Phil Kirpin on, so stick with us.
Whether we like it or not, the best I can tell, the world's gone to hell and they're all gonna miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. I got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, but it's all going to pot.